Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for our day together, our chance to open your word, and begin, we ask for your blessings and for your presence. Please do forgive us for our sins. Open our hearts to you, then, that there would be nothing between us and you to speak to us today. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Today I come with just the simplest of sermons. There are no surprises, there's no grand revelation at the end. There's just a quality to point out, a quality that the Lord says should be a part of all of our lives. It adds strength to the men and enduring beauty to the women, and it is quietness. In our scripture reading this morning from Isaiah 32, it said this in verse 17, "The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever." Righteousness, as we know, is being right with God. We get that way by faith, by forgiveness, by grace. We turn to Him, to the Lord, in humility and repentance. And in His loving kindness, He washes us. He washes us completely clean, as it says in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In other words, He'll purify us from all the things that cause us to not be right with Him. So our text in Isaiah tells us that the effect of being right with God is quietness and confidence. Quietness, the word there is the Hebrew shakats. And it means literally caused to be quiet. If you're right with God, you will be caused to be quiet. So it comes to us as a gift from God. It's a rest that He will provide. Therefore, quietness is not a pretense. It's not acting. It's not a discipline that we impose on ourselves, as it is with some Eastern meditative religions that start with quietness and then lead to what they describe as enlightenment. In Christianity, we start with the enlightenment first. There is the revelation of God's grace. Then we turn to Him in supplication. We are made right with Him. And then an effect of that is quietness. And in quietness, there are other blessings. Satan is always turning things over on their head. With God, we deal with what is, and not with fantasy. C.S. Lewis, in his letters to Malcolm, said this. He said, "It is of no use to ask God with factitious or artificial earnestness for A, when our whole mind is in reality filled with B. We must lay before Him what is in us, not what ought to be in us." All of us need real help for whatever is really going on. What is the physical and emotional toll that stress is putting on our bodies? We need to hear, when we come to the Lord, we need to hear an authentic word from God. In our lives that are raked with stress, they are puzzled by ethical questions and filled with anxiety about the future, we come before the Lord, and there He reminds us that our lives matter and that He cares about each one of us and that the future is securely anchored in His hand. How can you hear such things from Him unless you're listening, unless you yourself are quiet? For those who have known the benefits of quietness in themselves, there's a yearning for more. Solomon, talking about this in Proverbs 17, verse 1, said, "Better a dry crust of bread with peace and quiet than a house full feasting with strife." The Apostle Paul also wrote to us about this. He was writing to Timothy, but it comes to us in 1 Timothy 2. First Timothy 2, verse 1. Paul says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. When we live in a state of peace, when our life is reflected most genuinely in quietness, then we are at our top form to act as witnesses for Christ's sake, to assist others, to gain a knowledge of the truth, and to be saved. Again, the Apostle Paul is writing here just a few pages back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, he says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you may not be dependent on anybody. In the King James there, starting of verse 11, it says, study to be quiet. Here in the NIV it said, make it your ambition to be quiet. The point is that it's supposed to be a desire of our heart, a desire that we seek after, to be quiet, to have a quiet life. All of us have to work. All of us have to go out and we have to make noise. We have to bang things around and get things done. This is not a call for us to just abandon life, to run away to the hills and to sit under a tree and daydream. We all do need to work. We need to be responsible. But it is a call for us to set time, to make time, to seek, to have an ambition, to have that special moment, a session, a season of quietness, of solitude. Have you ever done that? Have you ever taken time away just and spent it in solitude? I have an uncle. He cannot stand to be by himself. He'll sleep with the radio on all night long because he can't stand to have quiet around him. He's got to have people and things and activity around him all the time. I am not a medical man, but I can't imagine that that's continuously good for you over the long run. There's healing in quiet. We need to retreat sometimes from the busyness of our life and retreat as Christ did. Let me speak to those of you who are parents for a second. When you're dealing with a small child, and you say to them, I want you to go in the other room and I want you to play quietly. What is it that you're looking for there from your child when you're doing that? Besides, you know, a break from the noise and everything. What is it that you're hoping will be produced in your child when you tell them that you want them to go and play quietly for a while? What do you see? If you watch them, if you kind of peek through the door, what do you observe? You'll see a child, you know, probably setting up toys or figures or something. And the toys don't have to make sense. They don't have to be reflecting what the child is imagining they are. But they're setting things up and they're pretending a scene, acting out some desirable scenario. To play quietly for them is a chance for them to open up the creative windows of their mind, and you'll just have no idea what would fly in. It's not so different with the adult children of God. When we come before Him, when we open our hearts to Him, we lay our burdens before Him, we share our desires with Him, then we let Him, the Creator, show us the scenario of how it can all come together. And He helps us see that plan that He has for us that Charles mentioned in his prayer. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was talking about a moment like this, and he said that true prayer is measured by weight and not by length. A single groan before God may have more fullness of prayer in it than a fine oration of great length. Okay. That's fine. We've talked about quietness and we've talked about how to get there. We get it from God. It's a gift. But what happens when you get there? You've set some time up. You've actually done that. You've prayed. You've laid yourself before God. You're actually feeling that quiet. What happens when it arrives? You speak to God. He speaks to you. What does he say? I'll tell you. I don't know. Because it's between you and him. I don't know. But I mentioned at the beginning of this that there are certain benefits that come from this. Two benefits specifically. One is that it makes women beautiful. That's a desirable thing. Thing that I think too many women miss here is this opportunity to be beautiful. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. So it's just overlooked. 1 Peter 3, verse 3. The apostle says, "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands." No, that's verse 1, verse 3. "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Quietness, when it is reflective in your life, is a quality that you possess, becomes here, as the apostle tells us, a source of unfading beauty. And for men, and for women too. Isaiah chapter 30, look at that with me. Isaiah 30, verse 15. Isaiah 30, verse 15 says, "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it." God laid for Israel the perfect road to peace, but they wouldn't walk in it. But you can. You can. He says there, "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." How does that work? How does that work? In quietness and trust, we find strength. We know, I think, I don't know, I can't speak for women here, but just from a man's point of view, I know that that's true. You feel it on the inside that it's true, but it's a little bit hard to explain. I read a story once that I think shows the reality of this. There's a shrine, a religious shrine, in the French Pyrenees Mountains. And just after World War II, a war veteran who had lost his leg in the war was going there because at this place, at this shrine, people go to pray for healing. As he's hobbled his way through the town, he'd gone up there and got off on a bus. He's making his way through the town down the street that leads to the shrine. He passed a group of people that were sitting at a sidewalk cafe with beers in hand, and they seemed to notice him for some reason, and one person in the group said, "Look at that ridiculous man. Does he think that God is going to give him back his leg?" Why would someone say such a thing? I can't imagine. I know the Lord does not speak very highly of mockers and scorners, and there is a reward for such a thing. But really, you just can't imagine someone actually blurting something out like that out loud. Maybe it was the beer, I don't know. But anyways, does he actually believe that God is going to give him back his leg? Well, the young war veteran, he was a young man. Someone who himself would not be the kind who would sit back and mock others. He's the kind who would step up instead and serve. He hears the comment. He hears the laughter coming out of the little small circle there at the table. And so he stopped where he was. And he turns to them. And he says, "Of course, I do not expect for God to give me back my leg. I'm going to pray to God, help me to live without it. In quietness and trust is your strength. I've been a pilgrim myself a few times. I know from God's word that shrines are nothing, but most of the Christian world doesn't know that. They only know what their teachers have taught them. But we are all still pilgrims, each one of us. We ought to be. Still pilgrims, still seekers. We can seek a moment of quietness with God in the places where His Son walked, in places where the apostles and the martyrs bore their witness. We can seek an audience with Him on the top of a mountain that His hand has created. And we can kneel before Him in the still and quiet of our own room. And in any of these places, we can be pilgrims in search of a blessing. And He will meet us there. And the promise remains in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, You give us so much, and there's so much available that we don't see or recognize. So we claim the promise that You've given to us through Your Son, that through Your Spirit, You'll help us to pray. That You'll speak for us of the things that we actually do need, the things that will help us to have the life, the relationships that we want to have. So Lord, please fill us, speak to us. Really do be our Lord and lead and guide us and help us to be submissive and be willing to follow You and follow where You do lead, to trust You in quietness and trust. We pray this in Jesus' name.